I want you to turn to that passage we read together there from the first epistle of John. And our text is taken from chapter 2, 1 John 2 and verse 6. He who saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He that saith he abideth in him that is in Christ ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So here's a man saying something about himself. He's making a claim about himself. In fact, he's making a profession. He's declaring himself to be a Christian. He declares himself to live in Christ, or Christ in him. That by faith he's spiritually joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's in saving union with the Lord. And John says it's not enough simply to make that claim. It's not just enough to be able to say a thing like that. The man who claims to be a Christian must walk as Jesus walked. In other words, the only way you and I or anybody can demonstrate the genuineness of their profession to be saved by Jesus Christ is by being like Jesus Christ in his daily life and conduct and character. And this shows us, therefore, that Jesus isn't only the Saviour of sinners, he's also the example and model of sinners as well. In fact, Jesus sets himself before his people as their great example, as their model. He says in Matthew 11, learn of me, come, take up your cross and follow me, he says. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And isn't he perfectly suited to be our example of how to please and to glorify God? Didn't the Father speak from heaven on two separate occasions and say, this is my Son whom I love, in whom I am well pleased? Didn't Jesus himself say, Father, I have glorified you in the earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. And so he lived a life of faithfulness to his Father, fulfilling his Father's will in all his words and actions. So I'm going to ask a number of questions of this text. And the first question is this: why are we to be like Jesus? Why are we to be like Jesus? Our text says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. When you say, I must go to my work, or I must visit the doctor, or I must have surgery in a month or two's time, you're not talking about something optional, but something needful, something indispensable. So if I claim to be a Christian, if I claim to be in Christ and Christ in me, it's essential then that I live according to the example of Jesus Christ. Why? Because this is the purpose of the triune God for all of those who are united to Christ. Go back before man was created and God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. That's the purpose to which man owes his existence. God purposed to create man after his likeness. And Adam and Eve were created. They came forth from the hand of God, reflecting the very image and likeness of the one who made them. They were a visible manifestation of the glory of the God who is invisible. But then you know how they sinned. Sin entered God's world. Man gave into the tempter, rebelled against his maker, and in doing so fell from that high state in which he was created. He became marred and effaced by sin. Did God cast man off when he had sinned? Was he content to see his image in man defaced and marred in this way? No. God would have his image in man restored once more, so that man might live in righteousness. To that end, he sent his Son into the world to live and die in this world, and sent the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of men and women. So God's purpose is to restore men to that likeness to himself which he had at the creation and which he lost at the fall. And the whole Godhead The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is committed to this task, to restoring men and women and boys and girls in righteousness. So why are we to be like Christ, we who profess to be Christians? Well, because of the electing purpose of the Father. The electing purpose of the Father. As soon as someone mentions election, immediately people raise all their problems. And who are the elect, they ask? How many of them are there? Are there more elect than those who are lost? Is election without condition? Or are we chosen on the grounds of a faith that God foresees? And so on. But you know, very seldom do people ask, well, what's the purpose of election? What's its purpose? What's its end? Its purpose is more important than its problems. And what's its purpose? Paul tells in Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. To what? To be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That's the end of election. That God in his grace and saving us might conform us to the likeness of Christ. God has chosen a people out of the world to the end that they be moulded and fashioned after his Son. And Paul says essentially the same thing in Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the creation. For what end? To be holy and blameless in his sight. And who was holy and blameless? Christ. So that's the purpose of election. It looks in our lives, those of us who profess to be Christians, it looks towards Christ's likeness. So if you claim to be one of God's chosen people, one of his elect, then you must walk as Christ walked, for this is the great end for which you were chosen by the Father. My friends, seeing the end to which the Father has chosen you, do you count it a must, a necessity, that you walk as Christ walked? Then another reason we're to walk as Christ walked is because of the redemptive work of the Son. Why did Christ die on the cross? Was it simply to show us how to face death with courage and fortitude? Was it to set us an example of self-sacrifice, to teach us how to treat those people who would persecute us? Is that why Christ died? No. In dying, Jesus had one objective in view, and that was to deliver his people from the guilt and power of sin, that they might be saved from sin and made holy. Titus 2:14 says, Christ gave himself for us. To what end? That he might redeem us from all wickedness and purify a people for himself that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's to say, Christ didn't only suffer the penalty of God's justice so as to save those who believe from the condemnation of the law, but he died to bring about an inward change in their heart, to purify them, to change the whole tenor of their lives, so they'd be eager to do what is good. And what's doing good? Well, doing good is Christ's likeness. And the same truth is stated in Ephesians 5:25. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. To what purpose? To make her holy. To present it to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Christ died for his people not only to reverse the corruptive process of sin in their hearts, but also to make them free from every stain of iniquity. A work that won't be completed, of course, until death. Who was free from iniquity? Jesus Christ. So it comes to this, you and I can't claim to be saved. We can't be claimed to be trusting in the death of Christ without seeking to be like him. Because that's the whole purpose for which he died. we might be saved from all iniquity, that we might be made pure and holy. And here's a further reason why we're to walk as Christ walked, and that is because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. People are elected by the Father unto holiness and redeemed from sin by the death of his Son are also indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says so. And for what purpose does the Spirit dwell in us? Galatians 5 tells us. He's in us to produce in us the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. And what's this fruit? Whatever way we look at this fruit, how can it be described? It's Christ-likeness. Weren't all these things seen in the life of Christ? Weren't all these graces evident in him? Therefore, you can't have the Spirit residing in you without seeking to live after the pattern of your Saviour. Why are we to be like Christ? The Father is electing love, has chosen us to it. The Son, by his death on the cross, has redeemed us from sin to that very end. And the Holy Spirit resides within us to produce that very outcome of likeness to Christ. What a motivation then to be like Jesus Christ. So I ask you the question, are you walking as Jesus walked? You who claim to be Christians, you who claim to be saved, are you walking as Jesus walked? Well, if you're not, and it's evident you're not, then your claim to be saved is suspect, if not false. Because the person who says he lives in Jesus Christ, I am savingly joined to him, I abide in him and he in me, he, she must walk as Jesus walked. Why are we to be like Jesus? And then secondly, let's notice, what is it to be like Jesus? We talk about being like Jesus. What does that mean? Well, if all believers must walk as Jesus walked, then the question is, how did Jesus walk? How did he walk? How did he live? What characterized his life and character? Well, to begin with, Christ was holy. Holiness is a word that frightens some people. They don't like it. But the word holy simply means to be separated. And so when we're told that God is holy, it means that God is separate from the world in the sense that he's utterly and completely removed from all its sin and all its evil. God is of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look upon sin. And this was also true of the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? We're told he was holy, undefiled, and separate from sinners, Hebrews 7:26. While he lived with men and mixed with men, yet he was separate from men in the sense that he was never a party to their sin, neither in his nature or in his behavior. Always he stood before God without shame, never having to confess sin. Holiness, however, means more than separation from sin. It means to be separated unto God. The vessels in the temple were called holy. Why were they called holy? Because they were set apart from a common, everyday household use. They were set apart for the worship of God and used only in his worship. And so with Christ, not only was he separate from sin and sinners, but he was given up to his Father to do his Father's will, to promote his Father's glory. And John says we're to walk as he walked. My friend, are you endeavouring to be more and more separate from sin? You young people, are you fleeing youthful lusts? Are you taking measures to resist the devil and his temptations? Are you seeking to keep sin out day by day as the devil makes his attacks? Are you guarding the eye gate, what you give your eyes to see, and your ear gate to what you hear, the mouth gate as to what you may be tempted to say? Do you consider yourself to be the Lord's, purchased by precious blood and devoted to him, loving him, seeking his fellowship, and resisting daily all that's contrary to his will? What's it like to be Christ? Well, since Christ is holy, then we're to be holy. And Christ was also obedient, wasn't he? Time and again he said to his disciples, I'm not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He didn't choose to go his own way, but went the path of his Father's bidding. And you remember at the beginning of his life, the path he was called to walk by his Father was a path of obscurity. When the world was crying out for the light of life, he was commanded to live and work in that little known town of Nazareth. And there for 30 years he pushed the saw and he drove nails in the carpenter's shop. I'm not sure he found that easy, because people needed him. Yet he obeyed fully, content to do that lowly task in an out-of-way, obscure town. Many of us in a similar situation would have run ahead to seek the limelight and to make a name for ourselves. But not Christ. He waited his Father's time, the hour that his Father had commanded. Are you content to wait God's time? Are you prepared to do the lowly task in some obscure place, content to let God choose when and where and how you will serve him? And then we come to Calvary. And then again we see how fully and how completely and absolutely Christ obeyed. As a true man, he loved life. As the Son of the Father, he delighted in his conscious communion with his Father. But now his Father's will demanded he walk down a path where he should be stripped of all the awareness of the support of his Father's presence, and down a path where he'd have to give up life itself. And then our Lord, as a true man, that was a difficult thing. For men don't like to relinquish life. Death's a foreign element, isn't it? Introduced to humanity. And that's why we all shrink back from it. And though everything in Christ recoiled at facing death, yet he became obedient unto death, and that even the death of the cross, the death of the cursed one. And we're to walk as he walked. He did God's will in everything, and so must we. Are we following Christ and his obedience? Are we seeking, as those professing to be Christians, to make a conscience of obeying God? Are we concerned to obey God? What about the commandments? Do you seek to keep the Sabbath as ought to be kept? What about respect for your parents? You children, are you seeking to honour your parents as you're commanded to do in Scripture? What about coveting, setting your eyes on things, and coveting them for yourself? Are you doing what other professing Christians do? Or are you doing what God commands you to do in his word? What is to be like Christ is to be obedient, as he was obedient. We're to be obedient. Moreover, Christ served. His life was one of service to God and men. From the day of his baptism to his death, he went about doing good. And it staggers us to think of what our Lord packed into those 3 years. Think of the miracles he wrought, the teaching he gave, the prayers he offered, the souls he sought. He was tireless in his evangelistic efforts, moving from town to town, village to village, on occasions not having time for as much as a meal. Concern for men's souls, zeal for God's glory, burden in his heart. So the time was redeemed and every opportunity was seized for doing good. And if we claim to live in him, then we're to walk as he walked. Are we actively seeking the good of others? Are we making most of the God-given opportunities, using them, our time wisely? Are we engaged in Christ's service when it's convenient and when it's not convenient? Are we resisting the temptation to be idle? So easy to give into the flesh, isn't it? What about the congregation? What contribution, if any, are you making to this congregation's life and witness? Are you involved, or are you just a spectator looking on, coming and going, without taking part? What work, if any, are you doing as one called to walk as Christ walked? He was a worker. Are we working as Christians in the work of the kingdom? What is it like to be Christ? He served. And we're to serve. We call ourselves after his name. And furthermore, Christ was contented. Even though he had no place to lay his head, he never complained. He never coveted any man's circumstances. He never desired another person's prosperity. And if you claim to be saved, you must be like him. I have learned, says Paul, Christ-like man that he was, I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Can you say that? Can I say that? How prone we are to be discontent, to complain, to envy our neighbour, to envy for what he has, his possessions. Are you complaining that others have more than you have? Or are you happy with your lot in God's providence, as Christ was with his? So you see that Christ lived for God, didn't he? And for God's will. He lived for God's kingdom. Self was lost in concern for men's good and in zeal for God's glory. That's the pattern he has set us. That's the life he lived. And he is our example, the scripture said, that we should follow in his steps. How far do you resemble him? Oh, I know there's none of us going to resemble Christ perfectly. We cannot do that. But are we to resemble him to some degree? And as we grow in the Christian life, are we growing more in that resemblance to Christ? Is Christ's likeness increasing in us as time passes? Am I more like Christ today than I was 6 months ago or 6 years ago? Am I more like Christ today when I was when I first professed to be a believer? Why are we to be like Christ? The whole purpose of the Godhead at work in us to that end. What is it to be like Christ? To be obedient, to be a servant, to be contented. Then a third question. Why are we to be like Christ? Was it to be like Christ? How can I be like Christ? How can this be done? Well, first of all, friends, we need Christ's nature. He who says he lives in him. The one who says, I'm united to Christ. I'm joined to him. Just as he must walk as Christ walked. In other words, if a man claims to be joined to Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, he's to be like Jesus Christ. But the person who's not joined to Christ is under no such obligation. Because, of course, it's impossible for a person who's not savingly joined to Christ to resemble him. Nowhere does the Bible say to the non-Christian, look at the example of Christ and follow it. Look at Christ in your New Testament and seek to be like him. No, the unconverted man is always addressed in the Bible in terms of repent and believe the gospel. And then there's an evidence that there's true repentance, that regeneration has taken place, that the person is savingly joined to Christ. There is then the call to walk as Christ walked. You see, I can go into a shop in Banbridge and I can buy artificial apples, artificial peaches or prunes. And I can go out and I can tag them onto a tree in my garden. And that tree would have all the appearance of being an apple tree or an orange tree or a pear tree. But is it? Of course not. Apples hung on from the outside don't make an apple tree. Apples must come from within the life of the tree, as a product of its life, from its sap, for to be a true apple tree. And likewise, you can't truly be like Jesus simply by tagging on certain things to your life, like prayer and self-denial and helping others and so on, giving to charity. No, likeness to Jesus Christ doesn't proceed from self-effort, but from the life of Jesus within. To be like Jesus, I must have the life of Jesus in me. I must be in spiritual union with the Son of God. I must have his nature. I must be born again. Jesus must be in me by his Spirit. So let me ask you this. Are you working and striving to live like Jesus without having received the life of Jesus? Without having been born again of the Spirit? If so, you're attempting the impossible. You can't be like Jesus without being in Jesus, being joined to him savingly. And again, to be like Jesus, we must discipline ourselves. Our Lord didn't live the life he lived without stern resolve and discipline. The Apostle Paul didn't live the Christ-like life he did without discipline. And he talks about that again and again. Christ set his face like flint to do the right. He rigidly disciplined himself in habits of devotion, making use of prayer, daily meditation on the scriptures. And so must we. If we be like Jesus Christ, we must apply ourselves to daily meditation on the word, to prayer, attending the preaching of the word of God, seeking to deal with areas of sin in our lives. Our Lord talks about plucking out that eye that might be a means of temptation, or cutting off that arm that again might be an occasion of sin, seeking to mortify ourselves so we might keep from sin by the grace of God. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. Put to death the deeds of the body. Give diligence. That's, again, it means effort. It means giving ourselves to something to add to our faith, moral excellence, knowledge, and so on. All of these terms I've just used refer to effort that requires discipline and resolve and commitment. So if you would be like Jesus Christ, you must then, in conjunction with the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't do our work for us. We are called to work out our own salvation as the Holy Spirit works within us. And we've got to train ourselves in habits of prayer and Bible study, in self-denial, in avoiding sin. Of course, we'll never be perfectly Christ in this life, no matter how hard we try. Every day we'll have to confess our sin. Sadly, we'll have to acknowledge every day how far we are from being like Jesus Christ. But are we following Jesus Christ purposefully? We can't do it perfectly. We can't do it fully. But are we doing it with purpose, with resolve, by the grace of God, and endeavouring day by day to be like our Saviour? And also, to be like Jesus, we need to be in fellowship with Jesus. An artist can't possibly paint a person's portrait without seeing that person. Usually what happens is, if a famous person's really was portrait taken, the artist will make that person sit, maybe for several times, or go to his home and maybe be about the man's home for hours, observing the person, observing his features, different aspects of his face and so on. The subject of the portrait has to do a number of things for the artist, because he's got to become familiar with the features of the person before he can put them down on canvas. And so it is in Christian living. We're to keep our eyes on Christ. We're to be like him. We're to emulate him. He's our model. He's our example. So we're to set Christ before us. Study him in the Gospels. Acquaint yourselves with what's said of him in the Epistles. We're called to run the race, the Christian race. Doing what? Looking unto Jesus. Got to fix our eyes upon him. We're to stay close to him. Live in fellowship with him. That we might live as he lived. As I said, we'll never do it perfectly. Not in this life. But that's what we're striving after by the grace of God. He who says, he lives in him. Are you saying that? Are you saying that, oh, I'm a Christian. I live in Christ. Christ lives in me. Well, if that claim is true, you really mean that. If it's true, then you'll walk as he walked. And it will be seen not to be true if you're evidently not walking as he walked and not concerned at all to walk as he walked. Oh, what a change there'll be in our homes, in our churches, in our neighbourhoods, in our schools, if as professing Christians we walk more and more and more as Christ walked. How effective our evangelism would be. In many instances, we wouldn't have to say anything at all as people felt the impact of our Christ-like lives. What are we about anyway as Christians? What are we doing as Christians? Surely it's to live like Jesus and for Jesus, for the glory of Christ and of God. Surely that's what the Christian life is all about. Are we serious about it? Are we doing it? If we're not really, we're just lackadaisical about the whole thing, you better question whether or not you'll be regenerated. That you're really in Christ and he's in you. Because those in Christ, the man who said, oh yes, Christ in me, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Then John says, you're to walk as Christ walked. You're to live like him. You're to manifest Christ's likeness as the Spirit lives and works in you. Amen.